Thank you very much. And it's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you for this chance to talk about my research. And it's also very nice to see a lot of nice faces. I hope to be able to see you soon in person. And the work I will talk about is done in collaboration with Lorenzo Bianchi, which was my actually first PhD student, Gabriel Gliard, currently PhD student, Luca Griguolo, Domenico Seminara, colleagues and friends, and another PhD student, Giulia Peveri. Some of the work is published and some hopefully will appear soon. So conformal correlators and ABS2-CFT1. So we are in the framework of ABS-CFT correspondence. And the first thing I would like to mention is why should one-dimensional conformal field theory be interesting? And together with the fact that it's of course always simpler to work in lower dimension, but this is still a constraining setup to test ideas about higher dimensional CFTs. And in fact, every higher dimensional CFT, if you consider its set of correlators at the boundary, for example, is a one-dimensional CFT. One-dimensional CFT emerge quite naturally as defect CFTs, and they are one of the simplest laboratories to study defects. And of course, the motivation to study defects was already mentioned at the first day of the conference, is huge. A world without defects is impossible. And also, in principle, for a deep theoretical motivation, in fact, it is believed that a complete classification of QFTs in terms of faces and other properties necessarily includes the classification of defects, boundaries, interfaces, and so on. And so I will be interested in seeing this CFT1, for example, within a higher dimensional CFT, so in see this defect CFT. And if you take two of the most important examples in the ABS-CFT correspondence of higher dimensional CFTs, the four-dimensional N equal four superior Mills, or the three-dimensional so-called BJM theory, which is a superconformal theory with six supersymmetries, it has been seen that a Wilson line can be viewed as a conformal defect. So I'm talking about the Wilson line defining this way is a certain path order exponential of a certain connection depending on the theory. And it is not difficult to visualize that a straight line will break the original conformal symmetry to rotations only around the line, dilatation, translation, and special conformal transformation on the line, and there will be possibly some additional symmetries, part of the supersymmetry, for example. And so the Wilson loop, because of the of this part here, dilatation, translation, special conformal transformation, defines implicitly a defect CFT1. And this defect CFT1 is the simplest, simpler also object with respect to the higher dimensional theory that can, that it's interesting and it's the subject of the first part of the talk. And so how it is defined is the CFT. One way to define it is to consider the set of correlators of operator insertions along the line. So I'm talking about the possibility of inserting along the line. So this is the definition of these correlators. There is this W here, which is the Wilson line. And the various contractions and traces here present are made such that this object is gauge invariant. So the set of all these correlators is characterizing a defect CFT1, and this defect CFT1 as any CFT should be fully determined also by the spectrum of dimension and OP coefficients. And in particular, I've been looking together with the collaborators to three-dimensional superconformal field theory as a parent theory And within it, to a half BPS Wilson line, so to a straight line which breaks the half of the supersymmetry, so that from the original symmetry of the theory, which is called the BJM, which is this orthosymplectic group, well, this is broken to this supergroup, which actually forms an n equals 6 superconformal symmetry in a superconformal group in one dimension. The bosonic subgroup of this supergroup is this set of groups, and the quantum numbers characterizing these groups are the ones which characterize the insertions that one wants to insert in the Wilson line to define this correlator. And in this framework, a special set of operator insertions, which are also called de facto operators, is played by the so-called displacement supermultiplet. It's a short representation of the subalgebra which survives the original supergroup. It is, well, you can see with some representation theory that it forms a chiral multiplet. The emphasis that I want to do is on the name displacement. It takes the name by one of the components of this multiplet, which is the displacement operator, which appears on the right of this relation. And you see this relation is just the statement. If it was zero, it would be translational invariance. Clearly, it is broken, and the displacement is a measure of this breaking of translational invariance. In fact, all these other operators are special insertions, which also can be related to the to some broken generators. So this is a description of these particular insertions on the line. And here I want to emphasize that counting of these components shows that in this CFT1 that we're going to analyze, there are 8 fermionics and 8 bosonic degrees of freedom associated to these de facto operators. And I want to emphasize this because this is exactly the number of degrees of freedom of transverse string fluctuations according to a VSFT. Remember that the string is critical, so it's defined in a 10-dimensional space and it's a 1-dimensional object. The longitudinal dimensions of the string or the space in which the string is traveling are not physical, the transverse are not physical, and so we are going to see explicitly this this correspondence. I might have overlooked a little bit the timing. I will not get offended if you sharply interrupt me. So the objects we want to study are correlation functions of these insertion operators. The simplest correlation functions are two-point functions, and they are particularly simple because of this form here. Normally, I would have a constant over a distance to the dimension of this operator, and this dimension can be classical, but can also have a quantum correction. In this case, these operators are protected, and actually this two-point function is very important. One of the reasons of the interesting reasons for this setup is that you can actually calculate the two-point functions of this operator insertion at all couplings relating their two-point function via some ordered identities to some object which you can calculate via supersymmetric localization, which is the Wilson, the VEV of the Wilson line itself. Three-point function vanish by symmetry, and let me go to the content of the main content, so the first correlator, which has a form which is not constrained so much by symmetry, and it's the four-point correlator of this insertion. In general, this has a non-trivial dependence on the coupling, of course, of the theory, but also on a single conformal cross ratio. There is a single variable here. This function G encodes scaling dimension and structure constants of the whole theory, let's say, in particular of the unprotected operators which appear in the OPE. So what I'm saying is the statement that the function which appears here, so here there is a factor related to the distance, here there is this function that has a decomposition in blocks following, if you want, by the double operator product expansion that you apply colliding together the positions of this operator. So this double OPE gives rise to has some consequences and gives rise to a form of the correlator that you can comprise in this way, where you have H to be the dimension of the exchange operator in this collision, in this OPE, and CH to be some normalized OPE coefficients. Anomalous dimensions and OPE coefficients are called altogether CFT data. So this function has a rich information on the model. And our studies has been, our initial study has been developed in three directions. We have performed a super space analysis of this GOK, also using some analytic bootstrap techniques, which means just assuming symmetries and some minimal physical assumptions. What can one say about this GOK? And some direct calculation at strong coupling using the ABS-CFT correspondence. So let me just, I will skip the analytic bootstrap analysis. I will just state that it coincides with the direct diagrammatic calculation at strong coupling. From the superspace analysis, let me state the result. It's possible, namely, to use the superspace technique, namely pack all these operators in a single superfield of which you want to study the four-point function. And if you want, the simplicity of this setup allows you from this four-point function of the superfield to derive this general form for the correlator, where I want to emphasize that the first correlator, this is the so-called super primary of the super multiplet, is described by a function of Z, where Z is another name for the single cross ratio appearing in one dimensions, and all the other correlators, and so within this setup, they are expressed in terms of this F of Z, which is the correlator of the super primary. So these are non-trivial differential equations, and the question that this superspace analysis asks is, can we have a set of data by which we can actually calculate explicitly this F of Z? So, which is of course a non-trivial function of the coupling. So I'm going to sketch the results. We can proceed by its calculation at strong coupling via Witten diagrams through ABS-CFT. Let me remind for who's not acquainted with the ABS-CFT correspondence that there is an ABS-CFT dictionary for whatever you choose to calculate on the CFT side of the correspondence. There is something which you can alternatively evaluate on the string side. And this, because of the nature of the correspondence, will give you what I meant, the strong coupling behavior. So if your theory has a coupling, as in this case, of the object you want to calculate. So one starts in this case from the string action, and in a special background, which is the one dual to the ABJM model. And the statement is that the Wilson loop operator is dual to a string, a minimal string, which ends on the contour defining the operator at the boundary. Here we have a straight line. The minimal surface will be just a strip that now I'm sketching this way. And in fact, it's possible to see that if you characterize this Wilson line via, if you want, the time coordinate, then the minimal surface will be described in terms of the 10-dimensional coordinate by this ansatz. The induced metric is just of the one of ADS2, and this is quite crucial because the isometry of the ADS2 is just the conformal group of in one dimension. And so this setup as such, and the fluctuations of the string over this minimal surface are the natural setup dual to the defect CFT that I've introduced. And so in particular, if you consider the fluctuation modes over this minimal surface, so if you expand in a quadratic order this action, what you will get, it's a series of interaction and in general, something which determines the dynamics of your field. And the statement is that these are all scalar fields in ADS2. And now you think about the ADS CFT correspondence in terms of ADS2 CFT1. And this tells you that these scalar fields should all be dual to some operators which are inserted at the boundary and have certain dimension. Namely, it can be explicitly seen that if this delta is the dimension of your operator, then some known relation, some known dictionary between dimension and masses of the operators associated on the string theory side is satisfied. So we have also, we can claim that maybe there is indeed a correspondence between these two models. And the reason why I say this is because then you can proceed evaluating the correlators for this scalar field in ADS2 and claiming that this correlator, which I'm evaluating here directly via the Witten diagrammatics, which is nothing but Feynman diagrammatics in ADS2. So if I want to evaluate directly these correlators, I will get an information on the correlators of the CFT1 defined on the Wilson line. And this is apparently true. So one can proceed. This correlator will have a certain expansion. There will be a disconnected contribution, a three-level contact diagram contribution. This T is the effective strict tension, which is the coupling of the string sigma model that we are using here. And let me give you the summary of this calculation. So you can evaluate the correlators in string theory. You can then evaluate this correlator. You can then substitute what we already got from the superspace analysis. And you can ask whether there is a single function solving simultaneously this ordinary differential equations, however non-trivial, and the answer is yes. So this is the result of this analysis, which can also be confirmed by analytic bootstrap. And so the first result is got from which, so from the explicit expression of this correlator, which I just shown, and from the comparison with the OPE expansion, which assumes here a special form because we use super blocks and not conformal blocks, a first set of CFT data can be obtained. CFT data which are about the operators exchange in the OPE. So these are so this is a perturbative analysis. We know FZ in perturbation theory. What we have to do is to invert this relation by substituting some ansatz for the classical part of the dimension of the exchange operator, and we can evaluate then the quantum correction, or directly also we can evaluate the first, the classical values. So some CFT data are directly calculable in this way. I am already out of my time, and this is conclusion. Sorry?
1 or 2 minutes, maybe?
More 2 minutes, very good. Because the intermediate conclusions are that, yes, you can consider, consider this CFT1 and find a lot of nice data. And this is already a big result. But the second part I wanted to sketch is how to develop a language, a formalism, in which this calculation, the direct Witten diagrammatics, which I've shown, has a more, it's simpler, simply it's simpler. And I want to namely sketch the idea of how to develop what would be the Feynman diagrammatics analog in flat space of this curved space, which is ADS2. And then this the development of this formalism is, I believe, a good prerequisite to develop the simplicity of this calculation and other and answer other questions which are about the integrability of this model. So finding something like an asymmetric factorization in ADS2 of these theories, because I should recall that there is a conjecture in general of the string sigma model in this context to be integrable. So the short answer is that we have developed a formalism which is consistent and which is in a certain sense the adaptation to the one-dimensional case of a successful formalism called Mellino amplitude formalism, which expresses in higher dimension the correlator. Here there are two conformal ratios, here we're in four dimension, in terms of a certain Mellin transform, and this is the Mellin amplitude, and it's a language in which the scattering nature of this correlator becomes more transparent. So the sketch is that one can start from the standard textbook Mellin transform, and in one dimension, however, there are several choices that you can do for this correlator, which are all somehow inequivalent. And in fact, I can already state our proposal. It's a proposal for defining the correlator in terms of this Mellin representation, which has several nice properties, among which a crossing symmetry, which hopefully, although we didn't yet define it, can be is certainly reminiscent of the crossing of the S matrix in two flat dimension. It is a representation in which it is, so these are the properties which are summarized. It's it has a certain asymptotic behavior which reflects an input from physics, which is called the Regge behavior, which comes from the requirement for any unitary CFT to have some, which is reflected in this asymptotic behavior of the Mellin amplitude. It has poles for the physical exchange operator, and it allowed us, and this is the nicest result, to derive some rules, which have the general form, which I express here, but more specifically look in this way. These are namely the constraint, an infinite number of constraint on CFT data that we have tested perturbatively and work very well. And so the main message, the real conclusion, is that I sketch some an example of one-dimensional conformal defect theories, which are, I believe, a very interesting model to study defect theories, and also a proposal of a consistent language, a consistent formalism, in which one can derive, even if you can trust me, simple closed formulas for four-point correlators corresponding to certain quartic interaction, which I didn't show, and an infinite sum of some rule that it is our desire to be able in the future to use in a predictive way. So far, we have only tested them. So thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to answer questions also on Slack if you will have them later.
Thank you for the wonderful talk. I think we have time for one quick question. And of course, there's you know, infinite time on Slack and in the Remo. I will ask one question then, since I don't see any from else. The conformal group in 1D, like in 2D, enhances to an infinite dimensional group. Like I know that if I were just a pure theory, I'd actually get topological theories. Does this feature still appear in conformal defects? I mean, how is it reflected on the ADS side?
I'm not sure. So I think let me think. It's something. It may be trivial, but now I can't recall how to.
You can also discuss later if you want.
Yes, I think I will do that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I can't recall it now. Yes, but thank you for the question.
In other case, let's thank Valentina again for the excellent talk.
Thank you.